An ordinary man who had met Jesus and became one of Jesus' disciples stood up on the day of Pentecost and faced a crowd of thousands right after Jesus ascended into heaven. He began to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. It seems to me that Peter was so filled by the presence and the power of God because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that he did something that he could not do in his own strength. He stood up, armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he preached a powerful, life-changing message that affected thousands of people. Why did the believers in the early church have such a tremendous witness in the world in which they lived? What was their secret as they saw their church growing, as the Lord was adding daily to their number? What was it that made thousands upon thousands come into the church during this time? Well, maybe we could sit on the sidelines and come up with some answers. Maybe it was the culture that longed for hope in an unstable world, that hope came in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Maybe it was a time of redemptive history where God was working at a rapid pace to build his church. I do not know, but as I compare the early church to our church today, I have to wonder what has happened to our witness. Why is it at times we feel so defeated in our Christian lives? Why is it that for years we rarely see someone come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord? Maybe these questions are unfair, but what I want to do in this sermon is to challenge you today by God's inspired and infallible word. I want you to not only long for the good old days of the early church, but to realize in your hearts that you possess that same power that the early Christians had as they were used by God to bring thousands into the kingdom of God. My hope and prayer is that you would leave this place today realizing the power of God that resides in you so that you not only become a dynamic witness for the Lord, but also a person of faith who lives a holy, obedient life to the Lord. I want you to see how God desires to work in your life and to be aware of how God works in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. It all comes down to God's tremendous power that he has given to you. That is the same power that he used to raise Christ from the dead by the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit would come on them so that they could be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and into the ends of the earth. So it seems to me that the early church knew how to tap into the power of God as God released his power into his people, into the church. We need to, as believers, realize that power this morning and see how God uses his power in us as we live for him. We need to understand and realize God's power is a resource so as to have a powerful witness in the world. We also need to realize that we cannot and will not be ever able to live for God when we rely in our own strength. It all comes down to relying in God's power that he gives to us only through the Lord Jesus Christ as we rely on Jesus by the Holy Spirit who gives us his strength and power. But what is power? When we talk about God's power, we must realize that there is no power ever created by man that could ever match the power of God. I say this for I have been on the most powerful ships that mankind has created, and I have seen that tremendous power in action. You think of the most powerful nuclear weapon we have in our nation, and that weapon cannot even compare to the power of our great and awesome God. God's power, his omnipotence, is way greater than anything man can create. And just think of this. God has given us, his believer, his power. In Psalm 68, Verse 35, we read, "You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. And to this I say, praise be to God." God doesn't just send us out there. He gives us all the resources through the Holy Spirit to live that Christian life and to be a witness for him. In Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, we did this in our corporate worship. Listen to God's word. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Who are the weaklings? Right? You know, you go like this and everything drops. Right? "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." Young men stumble and fall. What about the old guys? My kids gave me these shirts, you know, about old guys rule. I don't know if I rule, but I wear them around because I figure they gave them to me, but I'm an old guy now. But it says, "Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Paul said also in 2 Corinthians 12:9, we looked at the scripture last week, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And lastly, Paul commands the people of God as they put on the full armor of God. With the scripture in Ephesians 6:10, he says, "Finally, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It is God who increases our power and gives us who are weak a strength to live out our Christian lives. Are you tired and weary this morning as you are running the race? Rest completely on God's power and you will soar like eagles as you lean totally on Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And if God is all powerful and he has given you all his power by the Holy Spirit who resides in us, there is nothing that we cannot do for him. Do you believe that? I do. I believe it. No man can ever stop us in our service and witness to Jesus Christ. We shouldn't fear any man. We have the power of God residing in us. The problem we have is our view of God's power. And our finite minds often limit God. We cannot have a right conception of God unless we think of him as all-powerful, able to do whatsoever he has decreed to come. Stephen Charnock, a Bible commentator, declares this about God's power. He says this, "The power of God is that ability and strength whereby he can bring to pass whatsoever he pleases, whatsoever his infinite wisdom may direct. As holiness is the beauty of all his attributes, so power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of the divine nature. How vain would the eternal counsels be if power did not step in to execute them? Without power, his mercy would be but feeble pity. His promises an empty sound. His threatenings a mere scarecrow. God's power is like himself, infinite, eternal, incomprehensible. It can neither be checked, restrained, or frustrated by the creature. The scripture clearly states power belongs to God and to him alone. Not a creature in the entire universe has an atom of power save what God delegates. This morning I ask you, my dear Christian friends, this very important question, do you have this view of such a powerful God in your life? Our awesome God has the power to execute, also has the power to do whatsoever he decrees to come to pass. No man can ever stop our sovereign, powerful God. One other important truth that we must not overlook. Our God has the power to make and keep his promises. You mean to tell me that what God has said in his word is true and that he will keep all his promises in his word? You can count on it. When he says that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we will not perish but have everlasting life, he will do it. Just stop and praise God for this truth. For our covenant, God keeps his promises first and foremost because he is the holy, powerful God who sits on his throne. He reigns from above as our king and he keeps all his promises. And guess what? He has given to you, believer in Jesus Christ, his power so that you can say no to sin and yes to righteousness. That's a big deal. That's a big deal to say no to sin. God has given you the power as a Christian. So unbelievers cannot do that. He has given you this power so that you can also be a dynamic witness for Jesus Christ in this world. God is the only one who can take a few disciples and empower them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and use them to turn the whole world upside down for Him. These disciples knew how to tap into the power of God. Psalm 89, 6-8 describes what kind of God we have. He says, "For who in the skies can compare to the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is awesome than all who surround Him. O Lord God Almighty," that's power, "who is like You? You are mighty, O Lord, and Your faithfulness surrounds You." Have you seized upon God's power this morning by the Holy Spirit who is living in you, believer? Have you proclaimed what Paul tells us in Philippians 4:13? "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." You notice that? Please note that Paul does not tell us that we can do all things or everything through Him who gives me strength. He also tells us that we can live in Christ. We can seize upon Christ's power, His strength, and we can do all things. Paul says in Philippians 3:10-11, he says this, what he desired in his Christian life. He said, "I want to know. I want to experience Christ." And what does he want to know Christ about? He says, "And the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead." Is it your desire to somehow know and experience Christ and the power of His resurrection? I can tell you from my own Christian life and experience that I am just beginning to realize how to tap into this kind of power of my new nature or new man or my new life. That is really Christ living in me. Think about that. I am not living the life, but I'm allowing Christ to live in me, to live the Christian life. It is very challenging to live out the Christian life practically day by day, especially in this world. But if you would just realize this truth of God's power in you and not rely on your own strength, you would see dramatic changes in your life as a believer as you grow up in Christ. So how do we see God's power demonstrated in the Bible? Scripture reveals to us 5 ways in which we see the power of God. And I would like us to look at the 5 ways. The first way we see God's power demonstrated is in creation. The very first book in the Bible, first in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, shows us His mighty power. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By God's very word and power, all things came into being. He created light and darkness and waters and skies and land and vegetation and animals and birds of the air. And then He created man, the crown of His creation. And what should amaze you out of His creation, out of everything, is that He created all the above out of nothing. Out of nothing. We cannot grasp this kind of power. But God simply spoke and it was done. He commanded it stood fast. The supreme architect used no instruments or tools to fashion His creation, but simply said, "Let them be." And He added no more. And at once, the marvelous handiwork of creation was displayed. People of God, all you have to do to see the power of God is look all around you. I marvel at God's creation. God just didn't create one bird. He created thousands and thousands of birds. He didn't create one of every. It's amazing, the creativity of our God. Think of the most beautiful place that you have ever visited and know that it did not come by accident, but by God's very hand. If God can create a nothing, thus demonstrating His power, think of the same power that He resides in us only because you have believed in His Son, Jesus Christ. I can remember the first time that I saw the Rocky Mountains. We were driving in western Kansas, which is very flat. And Mara will remind you that eastern Kansas is hilly. She's from Kansas. It's a flat all in the western Kansas, and all of a sudden, you keep looking up and looking up as you come into Colorado, and you see the Rocky Mountains, and they're so impressive and so big. You cannot help but feel that how small you really are as you come into the Rocky Mountains. And just think, God created the mountains, and He is so much bigger and more powerful than the Rocky Mountains. And it pleases God to give us the same power that He used to create them out of nothing as He created all things. The same power God used to create all things is the same power that resides in us in Christ so that we can have His strength to move a mountain and His faith to walk on water. You know, you might be facing a mountain right now or some obstacle right now in your life. I don't know what it is. I know sometimes we get sick and we're not feeling good and things come in our lives. It could be family issues. It could be illness. It could be things at work. It could be financial problems. It could be all these things. Whatever you're facing, realize this. Even now, that whatever's in your life, that you can get rid of those. You can give them all over to God because God is all powerful. Seize God's power in your life and let Christ rule in every situation as you lean totally on Him. But God not only demonstrates His power in creation, but secondly, He shows us His power in how He cares for His creation. The providence of God tells us that God's hand is personally in His creation as He provides for us each and every day of our lives. Both man and animals will perish if there were not enough food that God would give them by His almighty hand. If God did not fresh the crops by rain upon the earth, the crops would wither and dry. Ask any farmer that. Psalm 36:6 says this, "The Lord preserves both man and beast." And in Psalm 66:9, we are told that it is God who holds our soul in life. He holds us in the palm of His very hand. Paul tells us in Acts 17:28, "For it is God, in God we live and move and have our being." The very breath that you take when you wake up in the morning, God gives to you. That's providence of God. That's the providence of God. The preservation of the earth from the violence of the sea is another instance of God's power. How the sea stays within its limits without overflowing the earth, and how the planets in our universe never crash into one another is the providence of God. Certainly, man has no control over the universe, for man cannot even stop a tornado or a hurricane. But God in His magnificent power is in complete control. Do you believe that God is right now in complete control in your life, especially when you feel like you're in the midst of a hurricane? Do you believe that? God gives us those things so that we trust Him. It strengthens our faith. It gives us perseverance. What a standing monument of the power of God is the preservation of this world. Nothing is too hard for God. Who can stop us as we live out our Christian lives and thus become His witnesses here on earth if we are armed with the power of God in Christ? Do you realize that God has given you this power this morning? Do you recognize and believe that the same power that God uses in providence is the same power that you possess in Jesus Christ? Even when man fell in sin, God, by His tremendous power, wrought out a perfect redemptive plan whereby He sent Jesus Christ into the world. We see God's power most of all in our lives in redemption. The third way we see God's power realized in our lives as believers. God, by His Spirit, put a new nature in believers and thus gave all believers the ability to love God and say no and yet to sin and yes to righteousness. This, my Christian friends, is the most astounding exercise and display of God's power that mankind will ever know and never be able to match. We say the world has fallen. We say the nation needs something. The world needs Jesus Christ. Our nation needs Jesus Christ. If anything's going to change the world, it will be Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about, oh, if the economy is better, or this is better, and that is better. We need to be a witness for Jesus Christ, seizing the power of God. If it were not for the power of God and the eternal decrees of salvation, there would be no salvation and no church of Jesus Christ. The same power God demonstrated in the world His creation and providence is the same power that He displayed in redemption. That's why Paul declares, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jews first and then also to the Gentile. Jesus Christ changes lives. Jesus Christ changes us so that we no longer live to our sinful nature. And this, my friends, is a magnificent display of the power of God. We who were dead in our trespasses and sin, we were dead. He made us alive in Jesus Christ. We were citizens of this earth. We were in darkness, in a dark kingdom. And what does it say in Colossians 1, 13 and 14? He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and He put us into the kingdom of love, light. Praise God for that. What a display of the power of God that can take a dead man and make him alive. A dead man or woman to make him alive. Who here this day in this congregation can testify to me how God changed you when He brought you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? We all should have a testimony of what Jesus Christ did in our lives and praise Him every day for what He has done. But He just doesn't stop there. He wants to use us for His kingdom, to bring others into the kingdom of God. I ask you, do you realize what power God has given to you this morning so that you can live and serve Him? Let's get even more specific and practical and see how God's power is displayed in redemption. All you have to do is look at Jesus' own ministry and see the power of God. In Luke 4:36, the scripture tells us that all the people were amazed and said to one another, what is this teaching? With authority and power, He gives orders to evil spirits and they come out. In Luke 5:17, we were told that the power of the Lord was present for Him to heal the sick. We see even Jesus giving His disciples the same power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases in Luke 9:1-2, as we see Jesus releasing His power into His church. And over and over and over again, Jesus did miraculous signs and wonders demonstrating to the world the power of God, which in reality proved that He was truly the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one sent by God to be the salvation or redemption of many people. I love John 11. John 11 is a great passage of Scripture where Mary and Martha asking Jesus to come to save Lazarus. He waited a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, and then he died. Lazarus died. Jesus comes and Mary and Martha are crying and weeping. But there's a reason why Jesus waited. So He could demonstrate the most powerful display of God's power by raising someone from the dead, which He does with us. And those words, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. And Lazarus comes forth. Everybody's marveling about it. But before He did that, He didn't even take His own glory for that. He prayed to the Father to do it. The Father answered His prayer, and then He did it. You see, Jesus' power is displayed in His ministry only to show us what He can do. Why don't we rely on Jesus and His power? Why do we say, oh, I can handle this ourselves, myself? Why do we do that? Because the sinful nature in us demands us to do that. But greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. It's the Holy Spirit. And we should praise God for that. You recall the time the disciples were in a storm of their lives, like we said last week. He was fast asleep. He gets up, He rebukes the disciples, He rebukes the wind and the calm and the seas. And you remember what the disciples' reaction was when He did that? They said this, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him. Are you amazed at what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life and continues to do for you? When He said, I'll have to go, but the Comforter will come. and gave you this kind of power to live the Christian life? Why are we so surprised at Jesus' power, even as the Creator and the redemption of the world? What would have been your reaction? Well, the same power Jesus has in calming the storm, He has given it to you when He saved you from their sin. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Know what God has given to you, believer in Jesus Christ. He has given you power. He has given you love. He has given you self-discipline. We do not live our Christian lives in fear, but in God's power and love and self-discipline. For God even gave Jesus the power to do these things by the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit was poured out on Him without measure. And even in Jesus' death and resurrection, we see the awesome display of God's power when we read that God raised Jesus from the dead by His Spirit. Thank God that this Jesus was raised from the dead to give us a faith that's alive. Jesus is living. He's interceding for us on the right hand. You know, Ephesians 1:18-19, and also later on in Ephesians 3, Paul says a prayer for the Ephesians. And listen to what he says. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance of the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe." That's what he prayed for the Ephesians. "That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. And because Jesus defeated sin and death once and for all by His mighty resurrection, He has released that power to us, the church, so that His church can demonstrate that marvelous power to the world." And this leads me to the fifth point under God's power in redemption. We, the church, have the same power as Jesus as we believers are in union with Him. Do you realize what you have in Jesus and what power Jesus has given to you? Are you living in the power of Jesus Christ, or are you living in your own strength this morning? We really need to be challenged to tap into the power of God that He has already given us to us in the Holy Spirit. Paul realized that all believers need this in their lives. For when he wrote to the early churches, he would often pray for them that the believers would be enlightened and strengthened by the power of God. I really believe when we believers are living obediently to the Scriptures and seizing upon Christ's strength and power, that we would be able to do anything as God's new creation and thus become the most powerful body that the world has ever known. What I'm asking you to do this morning is this. I want you to catch this vision. I want you to catch the vision, to seize upon the mighty power of God. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that you would come alive as Christ releases that power in us. It is the same power that He uses in creation, providence, and now redemption, which is displayed in Jesus' ministry and in the church. I began this sermon by looking at the early church and its witness of God's power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. What a tremendous testimony they had of their Savior as they turned the world upside down by the proclamation of the gospel. The Spirit of God and His power filled them, and it literally changed thousands of lives. What about us today? Why do we struggle as a church with being that same kind of witness? Let us renew God's power in our lives so that Christ may be exalted and proclaimed in our communities. In Acts 3, right after Acts 2, when Peter preached this great sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter and John went out and they healed a lame man by the power of God in Jesus, by His name. Acts 4, Peter and John were then brought into the Sanhedrin Council, and they were told, "Do not preach the gospel. Don't preach the gospel anymore." And after that, they were released. And the first thing they did, they went and had a prayer meeting. They went, and you know, they could have been put to death at that time, but God intervened by His providence. So they went back to the church and they prayed. And what did they ask God for? "Oh God, save me, save our lives." No, they prayed that the power of God would be evident in their lives as they cited references to God's creation and providence, so that they would be able to boldly preach the gospel. They prayed that they would be able to continue to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders, not in their name, but through the name of the resurrected Jesus. And something happened after they prayed. Do you know what happened? The whole place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God more boldly. What I'm asking you to do is, let's shake up Springs. Let's shake up Springs with the power of God in our lives, as we see God answer our prayers to give us that power. We already have it, but let us display, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God as we become a shining light wherever we go. So when and where can you sense the presence of God in your life? You sense God's power when God gives you His peace in the midst of the storm you're facing in your life. You sense God's power when you can say no and you can live an obedient life for God and yes to righteousness. You sense God's power when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and you fall on your knees asking for forgiveness. You sense God's power when sin no longer reigns in your life like it did before you became a believer. You sense God's power in your life when you notice how much you have grown up in Christ, being like Him in your daily life. You sense God's power when God uses you to lead you to someone to Christ. You sense God's power when you're living out the fruit of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace. And you do kind things for people and they wonder why you do those things. And you say, because of Jesus Christ. You sense God's power when you saturate yourself in reading, meditating God's Word. And you sense God's power when you get on your knees and you pray to God. And you do it every day because you need God's help. And you sense God's power in your life when Jesus Christ becomes so real to you that all your activities center under His Lordship. We sense God's power as a church when we are all committed to Jesus Christ, asking Him to shake us up like He did the early church through answered prayers. We boldly go forth with the gospel. We sense God's power when we're unified as one, because God pleases Jesus, because He prayed that we would be one. But maybe you are a person here that never has sensed the power and presence of Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. I was 18 years old when I truly believed in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, He changed my life forever. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? The gospel centers upon Jesus Christ and what He did for us during His life. He lived His life perfectly. And what He did at the cross. He lived a perfect life, and thus He provided a righteousness that we needed to stand before a holy God. All you have to do to be saved, is to believe in Jesus Christ alone and trust in Him by repenting of your sin, by being sorry for your sin to a holy God, and believe that Jesus died, was buried, and risen again to give you new life and new hope as He pays for your sin. Jesus shed His blood for you. He took your place on the cross because He was the perfect Lamb of God and He paid for your sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I ask you would come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, if you're not 100% sure, come and believe in Him and He'll be your Savior. And if you want to pray with one of the elders, we'd be glad to pray with you. But I really do believe that this is a life-changing event for anyone because it displays the mighty power of God. I think over and over again of where I would be if I did not know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I don't know, but I'm sure glad I'm here with God's people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would continue to be with us, that you ignite and strengthen that power through the Spirit in our inner man or new nature. God, that you would let Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, that we would ask Jesus, your Son, to take over our lives completely so we can experience his power in our life as we're in union with him, that we would display to others that